Hello and welcome to the Thursday, February 12th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Snob Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. A newsletter by the Payment Card Industry Council recently caused some confusion. This newsletter was their council's assessor's newsletter. It usually goes to accredited assessors that essentially certify whether or not a company complies with the payment card standard. Now, what this newsletter said is that SSL is no longer considered sufficient as strong cryptography. So essentially, you cannot use SSL alone to transmit credit card data. This, of course, was immediately misinterpreted as that HTTPS is no longer a valid method. And if you look at it, you know, pretty much any e-commerce site relies on HTTPS to protect your payment card information. Now, what it really means, and that's, you know, where I guess the auditor has to prove himself, because they are supposed to read these things very carefully. There's a difference between SSL and TLS. SSL version 2, SSL version 3 have proven to be vulnerable and should no longer be used. But these are not the only methods that we can use for HTTPS. Instead, we have other protocols like TLS. So TLS 1.0 and later is still certainly acceptable if configured correctly. The big mistake here is that a lot of people sort of just say SSL and what they really mean is SSL or TLS. So what this means is you have to use TLS. You can no longer use SSL version 3, which you should do already anyway. So that shouldn't really be a huge issue. This interpretation or rule will become effective with PCI standard 3.1. Currently, 3.0 is in force, which still is a little bit looser on the HTTPS configuration. And I think it was a couple of months ago that I mentioned a report by Rapid7 about the wide availability of unsecured gas station tank monitors on the internet. Now, they mentioned that by accessing these unprotected admin consoles, essentially, to these tank sensors, one could, for example, shut down the gas station or even in some cases cause accidents to happen by, for example, tricking the gas station into reporting a low setting and have the delivery driver overfill the tank. Turns out that Anonymous is already actively exploring these vulnerabilities. At least Trend Micro did attribute a recent attack against one of these systems to Anonymous and notes, of course, that one of the obvious attacks here would just be to shut down gas stations and with that, at least temporarily, to cause a shortage in gas availability. Now, the reason they attribute the attack to Anonymous is that as part of the attack, they actually changed the label that was assigned to different pumps. So, for example, instead of diesel, the label now said VR Legion, which of course is probably more meant to be then displayed to the user at the pump. I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen in those cases. And late last year, apparently, according to iSight Partners and Invincia, Forbes.com was compromised. But unlike what you would expect, this didn't lead to widespread infection. The feature that was compromised was actually a Flash applet that displays this thought of the day. If you ever went to Forbes.com and still have Flash running, you will sort of see these little quotes pop up. What happened here, however, is that only certain visitors in very targeted sectors did see the exploit. Everybody else saw harmless Flash code. So this is kind of an interesting use of a very large, very popular site to actually only infect certain groups of users. The attack did use two different survey vulnerabilities, one in Flash and one in Internet Explorer, in order to compromise systems that visited the site. Forbes and Invincia do attribute this attack to a Chinese group that they have seen in the past use similar infrastructure and similar methods to infect systems. And Rapid7 reports an interesting vulnerability in Android and the Google Play Store. Apparently, the Google Play Store does not universally implement the X-Frame Options header. This header prevents framing the content of the store in an iframe. Now, by doing so, a user could essentially install applications from the Google App Store without the user realizing that this is actually happening. In order to exploit this, the attacker also needs a cross-site scripting vulnerability, which, if you are running Android 4.3 Jelly Bean or earlier, is present in the default browser. So with that, the attacker can not only launch an attack against the Google Play Store, but also against your device by essentially tricking you into installing arbitrary software from the Google Play Store. Rapid7 made a Metasploit module already available that implements this particular attack. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.